Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I think it's really about educate, keep educating. There's not enough education about it. Change with your recruitment policy and your recruitment, the candidates that you see. And then surround yourself, get advice.
Hello, I'm Stephanie Parry, and welcome to my podcast, Where Do We Go From Here? As an executive coach and organization consultant, I'm curious to understand how leaders are learning from the current crisis. I strongly believe that there's no going back to normal, and through my work, I'm committed to help leaders identify new ways to move forward. My guest in this episode is Dan Barthelemy Rada, a senior leader in L'Oréal. The focus of our conversation is social responsibility, especially Black Lives Matter, and what leaders can do in their sphere of influence to make a difference. I hope as you listen to this, you'll hear that we're being thoughtful about this sensitive topic, sometimes feeling awkward, but always coming from a good place of trying to use our opinions and our experience to find practical ways for leaders to change and to make a difference. Okay, Dan, so welcome to my podcast, Where Do We Go From Here? Thank you for being my guest today. Would you just like to get started by introducing yourself to our listeners?
My name is Daniel Barthelemy Rada, and there's not a simple way to describe myself, because if I had to choose one word, it would be multi-diversities. And why multi-diverse? Because, well, first, racially, I have African blood, I have white blood, I have also Native South American Indian blood, and all of that is mixed in my origins and my family. So besides from being multiracial, I would say I'm multicultural as well, because I've spent one third of my life more or less in Venezuela, one third of my life in the US, and one third of my life in France. So a lot of cultures as well. I'm also socially diverse because I come from a poor country and from a family that was not wealthy. And I made my way up to who I've become now. And I'm married to Nicholas, so I'm gay. And we adopted two kids in 2015, so I'm also a dad. Besides from that, I'm a very fulfilled professional. I love what I do. I work at L'Oréal and I'm the general manager of Yves Saint Laurent Beauté in France.
That's great, Dan. Thank you for that. And I love how you describe yourself and the multiplicity of how you think about yourself. And I think that touches something in me as well. But I'm very much aware, especially this past year, of my whiteness and my white privilege. Even as a woman where in my life I've, you know, experienced various different problems, I am nevertheless a white privileged woman.
But even if I wanted to simplify, I would never describe myself in terms of my skin color. Even when I simplify, I describe myself either by my passport, I'm French, Venezuelan, that's the easiest way when I don't have the time or I don't want to make a point. But it's more about culture, and even though race, of course, has an impact on your life, but it's, to me at least, it's more about culture.
So I'm glad you caught me up on that, Dan, because it's an interesting point. And I guess it's only recently that I've described myself as white and privileged. Before, I would have used other ways of describing myself, both personal and professional, but they certainly wouldn't have included a racial element. But somehow I think it's important to hold that in my consciousness so that it can be a guide to how I behave and how I think about myself and others going forward. So what I'd like to do is come back to how you think about yourself And tell me more about your multi-diversities, and how did your thinking develop, and what does it mean?
To me, it means that we're not dual. Because there is, between black and white, there's tons of gray, right? And it will be too easy and also too negative to reduce oneself to one thing, to one label. And of course, we simplify in our everyday life. But I do like, when I have the time, explaining all of my diversities or all of my dualities, because it makes everything more interesting. It makes this influence that I have because of the places I've lived, my racial origins or my social backgrounds, it's interesting and it seems positive as well for others. When you are put in a label, you're gay. And gay, oh my God, has and still has so many negative connotations. But then when you say, you're gay, but you're a dad. Mm-hmm. You're gay, but you're a professional and you work in a big company. You're gay, but... So it becomes... I don't want to use the word but that's how we explain it.
Yes.
And so
yes.
It becomes more richer, and it says, okay, so that means that when you are black, you're not necessarily poor. That means that when you're black, you're not necessarily non-educated. That means that when you're gay, you're not only in bars and discotheques. You can be many other things in that label we put to minorities.
So it sounds like what you're saying, that with these multiple ways of thinking about yourself, that it's a challenging of stereotypes, that it's that you're gay and gay and it's not just gay and then all the labels that are attached, that society attaches to that, you know, that descriptor.
Yeah, well, sometimes I joke about it. Mm-hmm. At work, for example, I joke about it and I say, honestly, I am gay, I am black looking, I am Latino. But the reality is that when I describe shortly or in a conversation, whatever, who I am and what am I the product of, it raises questions. Mm-hmm. And it raises questions that I like answering, and curiosity. How can, in most people's heads, and when you're white, male, Caucasian, and because we live in France, French, you have not been exposed to this in your childhood. Yeah, you have not been exposed to this, maybe at work, depending on where you work. But so it sparks curiosity in the bubble that I live in. I'm not sure that if I didn't live where I live and surrounded by the people I am, the feeling or the reaction of others would be curiosity, but maybe rejection.
Yes.
Or not wanting to get involved with you.
Yes.
I've been lucky. I've been very lucky because, well, I have suffered from racism or racial biases, but maybe 3-4 times in my life, and I'm 42 years old. So, and I've never been confronted to homophobic reactions, maybe 1 or 2. Mm-hmm. But again, I've been out of the closet for more than 20 years now. So I've been lucky, but a lot of people aren't. I think I'm lucky. When you're an African American in the US, slavery is very present.
Yes.
Recent history is very present. And in your everyday life, it's very present that you're treated very differently than anyone else.
So last year, just after George Floyd was murdered, you and I were talking, and I was asking you about what I could do, because it was just after that Black Square Tuesday on Instagram and other socials, and I was feeling uncomfortable about that, but also was feeling impassioned by what was happening and not really knowing what I could do. And you said to me, education, educate yourself. And that really grounded me in something immediate and practical that I could do and have continued doing ever since. So why do you think that education around these social justice issues, be it Black Lives Matter, LGBTQ+, Me Too. Why do you think education is the starting point?
Being in the US when all of this happened and being exposed to New York society or New York inhabitants who are really, really into all of these issues. New York people really are conscious of the richness and the diversity and progress that all of these communities built to the city. So all of that, you know. What's interesting to me to, what was interesting for me to understand is, so why? Why? Why are there in the US more Latinos and African American in jail? Why are they? So, and the answer to me is learn. So what happened? How do we get here? And so I said education. So what did I do? First, I asked my friends, because I don't have, even if my skin color is blackish, I don't have the same story, the same history of African-Americans in the US. So I asked my African-American friends, what can I read? What can I watch? What can I do then to help, even if I didn't feel concerned in the way that I don't think, maybe because I'm gay, that I would be in that situation. But I wanted to understand. And so she gave me a list of films to watch, a list of books to read, TV shows, and then three ways to act. Communicate what you've learned. I have two kids, so I watched some TV shows and some films, and then I would talk to them about it. And I would say, hey, I watched this and I read this. Tell them, what did I take from those? Simplifying, because they're teenagers, of course, and they're young, but still trying to talk to people. And then donating, of course, because
yes,
in the US it's a big thing. And most companies now actually that donate in the US. So I went to the people who knew, then I watched, read, and communicate about it.
So there's almost like a cycle there of sort of inner circle who can advise and guide, yeah, doing the learning for yourself, and then doing something with that learning, yeah, and then, yeah, maybe sort of going through that cycle and keep adjusting it.
Exactly. And only even giving visibility to what happened is important.
Yes. But giving visibility in a way, so this is, for me, there's a struggle there between posting, you know, just posting the black square on Instagram felt useless, actually. Yeah. Felt like an empty gesture. How do we give visibility in a way that is helpful and meaningful and moves us forward?
Of course, all of these topics of diversity now become really exponential or really problematic with race. And still with gays, and honestly, yes, it's still not solved with disabilities as well. Because
transgender,
because we are in a society that is so, so extremized. Today, you can choose to only hear, watch, feel the things that you want to. You're not exposed to almost anything that you haven't chosen. Because you follow this, you buy that, you don't, and now it's, yes, even worse, because in COVID you don't even go out in the streets, yes, to see how other people live.
Yes.
And so when I was saying part of that, you know, educational process to understand what happened in Black history, understand today's feeling as well. Why are they reacting like this? Why? Because even for me, Latin American, French, a little bit of American, I said, why is this happening? And you have to force yourself to go beyond what you know, go beyond the stereotypes, because we live in a world that is much more multi than before. Mm-hmm. And so all of those labels of the past, you can no longer implement. Even in the US, when you're black, you're black with a little bit of something, or you're black, or you're, they said that people had a t-shirt at the time that says black, no sugar, no cream. Mm-hmm. And then there is, and referring to me, I'm black with sugar and cream. Sugar because my culture is different.
Yes, yes.
And cream because I'm lighter. And so it's the labels, it's they're going to disappear. I'm sure they're going to disappear, but you have to go beyond those things. And honestly, it's already happening. I see interns in at L'Oreal that I work with every day, to them asking the question, is he straight or gay? I've heard someone ask that question, and I said, who cares?
Yeah, yes.
They already live in a world that I called multi, they called fluid.
So generationally, it changes as well. And correct. I think, yeah, you know, we see that. It's my parents' attitude would be different to my exactly. attitudes and those of, you know, the generation below me. So... But that doesn't mean to say that you're locked into your generation and that you can't open up your eyes, become curious, learn, change your attitudes. I think it would be terrible if we were locked not just into our social context, but into our age too. That would be just another layer. What would you say? So this is, I want to ask you, what would you say to people who say, this is just a US problem? Because I certainly hear people in Europe, in France, less maybe in the UK, because there's been quite a lot going on in the UK as well. But this is just a US problem, or this is, it's too big, it's systemic, there's nothing that I can do. So what's your reaction?
Just as I told you that I lived in a colorblind society when I was in Venezuela, I would say that they're blind. They're blind and worse than that, these people who are suffering, and that's the main difference between the US, the UK, and France, for example. These people who are being discriminated are invisible, and they don't exist for anyone. This is very personal, and it's a very personal opinion, but the fact that we know exactly how many Latinos, how many African Americans are there in the US makes them visible. Just that fact allows you to, in companies, say we have a target of having 14% of our population Latino in the company, because that's the fair amount versus the number of people in the country. Second, I have had experiences in France, in very nice areas, where I've been taken by someone who I'm not just because of my skin color. And there is a co-responsibility. There's the responsibility of me saying, listen, the only reason you think that I'm a waiter, it's because of my skin color. Because look at what I'm wearing. Look at who, like, look at me. I am not a waiter. But you think that because... And then the co-responsibility of the other person would be understanding and admitting that she has a bias.
Absolutely.
And it's not her fault. And it's not her fault, and it's not, she's not being racist, but she has a bias. She thinks that when you're in a restaurant, all people who are not white are part of the staff.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
So you're touching there on the unconscious bias that we all have, but we can do something about it.
Yes.
And that's what I have learned, especially over the past year, is first of all, in my own awareness and my own education, becoming aware of my behaviour, thinking that I would never describe myself as racist, but then I understood what anti-racist is, and that's much more active behaviour. It's not just an attitude, it's an entire set of behaviours. And so I have caught myself being that woman, if you like, being on, you know, speaking to somebody in the queue for the post office, thinking that he was a worker in the post office because he was at the head of the queue holding papers, when in fact he was just another customer like me. But I had made that judgment based on his skin colour, and that was deeply shocking to me. And I'm sure I do that far more frequently than I realise. But what I am doing is working on my unconscious bias to make sure that I'm conscious of it. So that experience I had allows me to become more conscious and to change my behavior.
And if the good thing about being conscious of your biases is that you can decide, and it really takes a decision, you can decide that the next time you see a black person, an Arab or whatever it is, that it's different than you, of course you will going to see the skin color, but never stop there.
Yes.
And so what are the other cues that will help you understand who this person is? Mm-hmm. Because that's what I even do myself, to be honest, because sometimes, I mean, and it's normal, I think I have a bias then as well. And sometimes I look at the person and I said, okay, is this person, does he or she work here? Or is it because I have a bias? Or is it... So I work on that. I talk with my friends and with my friends about it and with my kids about it. And also just explaining what has happened to you already makes a difference. Mm-hmm. My friends were shocked, and I was shocked that none of these things that happened to me had happened to them because they're white.
Yes.
It's crazy. I've been taken by a Zara salesperson, by a waiter, of course, by a security guard, and I'm super slim, so I don't look like a security guard.
No, you're definitely not a security guard.
And none of my friends have suffered from this. None.
So, and those are examples of what I think of and I think people describe as everyday racism.
Yes.
It is... small behaviors and attitudes that are constant. They're micro acts. It's the same with sexism as well. So everyday sexism, micro sexism. Mm-hmm. So in some ways, our experience crosses over in as much as, you know, I've been taken for a waitress. I've been asked to do secretarial duties.
Yes.
So those are everyday occurrences of racism and of sexism. If you're...
Discrimination.
If you're a black woman, I'm having that as a white woman, but if you're a black woman, then there's an intersection there.
Oh my God.
The obstacles build up.
Yeah. To finish answer your question, in everyday life, is to really, really... be aware of your biases. I think it has helped me. Then talk about your own experiences and recognize that to your friends and to everyone who surrounds you, because they will also be able to understand your reactions, your decisions, the way you feel about something. And always put them forward. Every time I'm gonna give an opinion in my private or public life about something that I have a bias with or on, I say it up front. My decision or my opinion is tinted by my bias, which is Chinese food is delicious. And so I always say it up front. Always. I do it almost every day at work. I also do it in my family. As a Latino, I have a bias.
I think there's ways of learning about your bias as well. So getting feedback from others, exposing yourself, becoming part of a wider circle. I realize that my circle of people I know is white, middle-aged, mixed sexuality, but just in a natural way, make sure I have a wider circle, because that will challenge my...
That's okay, but just being exposed to it. I'm watching right now, and I recommend, strongly recommend people to see this show if they want to understand more about what's happening today with racism in the US. It's a TV show on Netflix, and it's called Dear White People. Mm-hmm. And so it's a radio program of African American with cream and sugar who addresses white people on her radio show, Dear White People. And it's really, 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 really interesting. It's part of educating yourself as well, because even myself, I have learned things on that show about how to talk about some topics or to some people in a different.
As a leader, what is working for you? Because I think many leaders that I work with and know are troubled by what's going on and don't always know what to do about it. But there's a lot of good intention of wanting to do something. So what would you recommend, or what have you done and seen that works or doesn't work?
The first step, I would say, is exposing people to what's different. And that's a decision that you take for the team of bringing to your company outside speakers, or highlight those who are in the company in other departments to come and have what I call a fireside chat about a specific topic. In some companies, we have to make decisions about products. And one of the things that we did in the US when I arrived in my brand was to surround ourselves with a panel of African-American people from different ages that are literate about the subject and that understand the history and the present feeling, as we were saying at the beginning, of these populations. And so we consult them. We consult them in a very practical way. It was on, we put it on the internal network and say, hey, we dropped something, a concept, a color, whatever it was, for them to give us our feedback. And they would be the ones deciding whether it's a yes or a no for this population. Another thing is, when you're recruiting from the lowest levels of your team to the highest, make sure that you have at least candidates. At least candidates. Because, and make it a rule. And I mean, that's what I did, because if not, it won't go fast enough.
Yes.
And and when I say you have to start at the lowest levels, because interns of today's will be the me's and you's of tomorrow. And then we had a training as well on conscious biases. It wasn't specifically on race, but we had some exercises on race. It was about disability. It was about many other things. And it's very powerful, because it's a practical exercise, and you're doing this game, and where you're putting forward all of your biases, and then at the end you realize, and it's powerful because it's difficult to realize that you have an unconscious bias. It is difficult. You need help.
I think that's something that many companies are undertaking already, but it's something as a leader, if your company isn't doing, then it's out there and you can find it and do it.
Just to sum up on that, I think it's really about educate, keep educating. There's not enough education about it. Change with your recruitment policy and your recruitment, the candidates that you see. And then surround yourself, get advice. And it doesn't matter if you're Black, because Black people also have their own biases about their own community. So it's get help when it comes to any type of discrimination.
Dan, in the context of all the conversation that we had, and as a leader, I'm going to ask you the question that I ask everybody, all my guests, which is, where do we go from here?
I would say the first thing is be conscious or accept that racism exists and that you have biases. And the fact that you have biases, it's okay. Once that you're conscious, how do you act to erase your biases? Surround yourself with people that are different than you. Read things that you won't necessarily read. Watch movies, not to entertain yourself, but to learn about your biases and the things that you're not understanding about what's happening around you. And three, spread the word. Spread it. Spread it in your family, in your friends, at work with your team, using maybe external people, but keep spreading the word so you can onboard others to change.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to my podcast, Where Do We Go From Here? I'm Stephanie Parry, and if you want to find out more about my work, please go to www.stephanie-parry.com. This podcast has been produced by Hattie Moyer at storyhunter.co.uk. And if you've got this far, you'd probably like to know that the music was written by Jean-Pierre Cloarec, my husband, and interpreted by my stepdaughter, Julie Cloarec. The next podcast will be coming soon. Thank you. Bye.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.